You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1. Half men, half couch.
I need a Fitbit just to see if I can break the record for the least amount of movement.
42 steps the whole day. That's to the bathroom and back a few times and into bed.
I swear I'll do that for Sunday. This thing's going to call the paramedics.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
You guys got to keep an eye on me here.
Uh-oh, what happened?
There was some random gummy bears.
I saw those.
I ate them. And I don't know whose they were. What the hell was...
They could have been covered in anthrax.
I don't know. I ate them and I'm thinking, how careless is this? Like, whose are these? Like, what?
So you're saying they could be...
Can you
like
imagine?
Weed gummies?
If I start crawling in the rafters like those cops
in Toronto.
Well, I
guess I
Toronto,
never thought about that.
Oh, yeah, that's a big thing.
There's weed gummies, right?
Oh, yeah.
They put weed in basically anything.
And there's nothing but stoners around the people that we...
Did you say, Al, they're Andes?
Well, then they're not Andes. You're fine. Andy, I think Andy's on the up and up.
Yeah.
I don't think Andy's... Maybe.
Maybe they were post-show relaxation gummies.
You got to have some serious stones, though, to bring weed gummies to work. Like, I know it's legal now and all that, but there's still like
is it legal to carry them with you? Like,
yeah,
I
don't
know.
You can do whatever you want.
Well, did you hear about the couple cops that they took some...
Yeah.
They confiscated some weed gummies.
And wasn't it brownies or something?
They started chomping on them and ended up in the top of a tree.
Yeah, that was last summer.
Didn't they have to call 911 for themselves?
They did. They called 911 on themselves.
No, we're laughing because they lost their jobs and they got charged and stuff, didn't they?
I don't think they lost their jobs.
There was a pretty significant investigation. Yeah. I don't remember the conclusion, but I don't think they're driving around in the cruiser anymore. No, I don't think. Because
they were
tough.
In the top of a tree
a
calling 911.
They're on a bike or something. Like they were like,
I don't feel these weed gummies or weed brownies. And then they just had some more.
Well,
and it went off the charts.
I mean, this wasn't the start I was expecting. But my understanding is people have told me that...
Just admit it.
If you get into the weed brownies like and that kind of stuff, if you're like digesting it, it has such a stronger effect.
Yeah.
And it hits you like... Mike Tyson cross.
You guys know me.
You know, like.
Like, what is it?
Like, you're sitting there down? After 30 minutes, you're like, I don't feel anything. This is stupid. This sucks. In 31 minutes, hit the clock, and you're up in a tree.
That's what
the
happened.
Cops on yourself.
That happened to me in
within
Amsterdam.
60
we gotta
seconds.
We got to do a show. We got to just bring in a sheet of brownies and just get crushed.
It happened to me in Amsterdam, and I flew out the next day because I rattled myself because... I didn't realize that space cake had, like, mushrooms in it. Like, there was all sorts of... It was like a 16-year-old trying every different type of alcohol for the first time. I'd never tried it. That was... My whole life, like, I never tried it. During the NHL lockout, I went to Amsterdam and tried it for 2 days. And
that's dangerous. Why would I go to Amsterdam
to try it?
Like,
because I was playing in the British National... Like, in England... And at the end of the season, five guys are like, hey, we're going to go to Amsterdam for a couple days. I'm like, I'm in. Flight's $39.
I hear you. But that's like never playing golf, and then you're playing Augusta National.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
On Sunday.
I couldn't feel my
from
face.
From the tips. Like the championship.
On TV.
Yeah. Well, that's basically what I did. I couldn't feel my face. And
I don't like that stuff, man.
It was
I went to a baseball game once, and we were having some gummy, like sour keys. And then they smelt weird, and I don't do drugs. Like, I'm not into
that stuff.
It's
not my thing.
And I left the baseball game because I'm like, I started panicking. I got anxiety. I'm like, I don't know what the hell's going to happen here, and I don't want to be the guy at the baseball game that's hanging off center field.
Running the bases naked.
I went immediately home and crapped my pants. I was so nervous and scared. And nothing ever happened, but I was like, I'm not going to be in public with this garbage. And I wasn't very happy because I wasn't aware about it. But
well, that's the greasy thing. Like, everyone's got a buddy who thinks he's being funny.
That would be
awful.
And
it's like, here, try these.
No, it's not funny.
There's nothing funny about it. There's nothing funny about that. I have been in that situation before, and I still owe him a strangling, and I'm going to get this little puke back one day.
Eventually, I can tell the
yes, we were at a party boozing, and I was like, hey, what's up? Like, he's walking around. He's like, here, do you want one? I'm like, yeah, go ahead. And then 30 minutes later, I'm up in a tree.
You're Chris Farley.
Okay,
slamming
so
down
let me
on
get
a
this
coffee
straight.
Table.
You're boozing, having a great time and at a party, and somebody offers you a brownie, and you didn't put two and two together?
Well, it was late in the night, and yeah. I was having a great
you had a growl
time.
On.
I had a big time growl.
Yeah,
anyway,
were you Griffin too?
I was Griff. It was in my past. I mean, this is Pat Quinn and Stan Mikita.
Yeah,
I'm going to get this guy 25 years
that's
later.
That's awesome.
You know, but.
So what was, hey, before we get into the show, what, like, all of a sudden you're just a mess?
Yes. I wasn't like a brutal situation where I was, but I wasn't expecting it because I didn't choose to go down that path. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I'm
you
like,
prepared for it.
No, we're at
all.
A party, we're having drinks, and then all of a sudden, it's like Tommy Boy. It's like Black Sheep when they're in the car.
Got a dart in your neck.
No, remember Black Sheep driving? They're like, I smell oxygen or there's something. And then he's like, oh my God, we're stoned. Yeah. They're going seven.
You're going seven.
How fast are you? 120? No, seven.
Yeah, you're going seven, and you pulled over into the median.
The middle of the road.
Yeah.
You know?
That's
so,
funny.
Anyway, but I think you can go everywhere in it because you've talked about this before, we all have. Like, I was at the Leaf game on the 5th for the Vancouver game. Outside, it's a Snoop Dogg concert outside the rink.
So,
like, people are just smoking weed all
Vancouver
over the city.
Is just,
well, Vancouver.
Help yourself. Like, I don't know what it is, man, but people think they're so cool smoking weed walking around. I actually cannot stand the smell of it. I hate the smell of it.
It's not my thing.
When people get in my elevator in my building, if you go outside, what they do is they go outside and they smoke weed, then they go back in the... That elevator smells for a day.
Comes out of their pores,
yeah,
isn't it?
Well, like that's what... Like, people that smoke weed all the time, I don't think they realize that. Like, I was skating. I was at our local rink. I've been taking my daughter skating recently.
Right.
And she's actually doing a great
she's
job.
Doing
and
good?
It's fun. I'm out there, and I have no muscle mass in my legs anymore. It's pathetic. I can't cross over without worrying that my legs are just going to snap in two. I have toothpick legs.
That's
it's disgusting.
Hilarious.
But there was a guy who was getting like his kids ready, and just the odor coming off of this guy, it was like you smoke weed all day, every day, everywhere you are, in your car, in your house. Like there's no way you're not smoking weed all the time.
That's
you
hilarious.
Can tell people that are constantly getting after it. But with all this legalization stuff, like I wonder what it's going to do in the sports world. You know, because you know there's a ton of players in the NHL, NBA, NFL, baseball. They all do it, but you can the leagues, none of them allow for it.
Right.
You know, so they still test, and I guess they test at different times. And I don't know what, you know, in the NFL, if you get caught, you're suspended, and it's out, and it's public, and then you can really get in trouble because it can snowball. If you get caught multiple times, then it goes from four games to six to a full season.
I don't know enough about it, but doesn't weed like leave your system pretty quick, like within a couple days or something? I remember a teammate of mine asking, "Is like
I don't think so. I think it's the opposite because I'm pretty sure
weed stays in there for like a month.
It's like 28 days because I think the Toronto Police Services they legislated a rule internally, if I can recall correctly, where none of the cops in Toronto are allowed to smoke weed at any point, like even on their
off
time.
Yeah.
And I guess the way around this is...
How fair is that? What if they just want to smoke weed? Although I'm not a fan of it, I don't care who does it.
Well, if it's legal, I would think it's legal for everybody. Right. Cops are allowed to drink and smoke cigarettes. Those are legal, you know, vices too. But I'm pretty sure it's in your system for like 28 days.
Wow. See, it's a marker. So if they get tested...
That's exactly. So I think... I don't know this for sure. I'm speaking off, you know, the top of my head here, but I think the police service may have put forth a rule where you get tested every 27 days or something like that. So in other words, we're always going to catch you if you smoked at any point. But I don't know. I mean, we'll see where this all goes. It's like legalized sports gambling. We didn't get to this story yesterday.
Yeah.
And I teased it. We just never brought it up. But the governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo, said yesterday, I guess he had a State of the Union yesterday, and he said he's bringing legalized sports gambling to the state of New York. He's like, I'm pushing for it.
Good.
Right, but there is a local angle to this because, you know, we border with New York. And a lot of our casinos, like the Niagara casinos...
So you can drive... Oh, you can be able to drive across.
Well, I guess, you know, and people have been pointing this out, and I think it's a very reasonable point. You better get on it soon, Ontario. You better legalize it, too. Because if I'm going to a casino down in Niagara, and I can either buy... Now, the border complicates things because it's annoying to get over.
Right.
But let's say... It's not, you've got Nexus or whatever, and you can pick one or the other. Everything is somewhat equal. Are you going to go to the casino on the Canadian side where there isn't a sports book and you can't gamble on sports
right.
if you're a big sports fan? Or are you going to go across the border to the casino on the other side of the border?
Yeah.
You know, now you're competing with...
4 seconds away, really.
Right across the border.
Yeah, like it's...
You know, so
that's
I would think
point.
It's going to affect how the province of Ontario approaches legalized sports gambling.
I think this will be great for you because I don't think you're a degenerate gambler, but what it does is it ups the ante for people like that are fans. And even if you put $10 down, like I know, what's the one here in Canada? Is it like Sportsline or what's...
Well, it's Proline.
Proline.
It's OLG, yeah. which you can't... Right. Like, you can gamble legally, but the Ontario government obviously legislates all that. The OLG is...
Right.
It's the Ontario Lottery and Gaming Commission or whatever
yeah.
it is. So I don't know how that would affect their programming and what they do. But I think Proline, you know, who we're affiliated with, we do our best bets and we talk about it all the time.
Right.
I'm sure they would love to be able to expand their horizons as well.
For sure.
And allow for live betting and allow for single game betting and as opposed to parlays and props and all that kind of stuff.
You'd be like...
The more the merrier. Why not?
People would be betting on the Leafs left and right. Or, you go down to Buffalo and you're betting on that single game. And maybe there's prop bets. You know? Matthews versus Eichel. Who gets the first point tonight?
That would be great.
It would be
cool. You know, you don't have to do it. And no one's suggesting...
No,
everyone
to be
always gets
degenerate.
Too,
yeah.
Well, and everyone goes to the extreme, like, oh, you're going to bet $100,000 on that. No one has $100,000 to bet on that.
Right.
But if you bet $5, you're going to the game anyway.
It invests you.
Exactly.
A little bit more.
You're into the game anyway. Hey, I'm going to bet $5 on who's going to get more points tonight, Matthews or Eichel.
I got an idea.
Why not?
Let's try it. Can we do it in Vegas when we're there?
Absolutely we can.
So we should have that.
I'm going to hammer the Leafs that night.
Are you?
Because I made... Actually, you know what? I should learn from my mistakes.
Why would you hammer the Leafs that night?
Be careful there.
Sniff out who's playing good, who's not.
Well, because I'll have a personal slant on it. But the last time I was in Vegas, the only other time I've been in Vegas, it was Winnipeg, Vegas, in Vegas that night. Game 3, I believe it was. I'm pretty sure. Didn't Vegas take the first two games... In Winnipeg?
Yeah, I'd have to look.
I can't remember.
I don't remember either.
Maybe it was game 4. You know what I think it was? It was game 4 in Vegas, and I think Vegas was up 2-1 in the series. And it was a mob mentality. We all hammered the Jets. Because we all thought the Jets were a better team than Vegas.
Yep.
And Winnipeg was down 2-1. They had to have that game.
Vegas won to make
and
it 3-1.
And Vegas won it. Yeah. Vegas won that game. And we were in Vegas watching the game, and I remember thinking at that point, like, I could understand the reasoning behind betting on Winnipeg, but why not bet the home team? You're in Vegas and then be invested with everybody else, and it obviously would have paid off. So
we're going to have to do that when we're down there.
Yeah. Leafs Vegas when we're down there.
It'll be fun.
As for the Leafs, we talked about it a little bit yesterday, wondering if things are going to change with the lines leading into the game tomorrow night in Tampa. And Babcock didn't fully commit to it happening or carrying over to the game tomorrow night, but Zach Hyman, William Nylander... flanking Austin Matthews.
I think this is good.
Little throwback at practice this morning.
All the talk about how he wanted to kind of play with Mitch a little bit or whatever, this might be the one thing that he needs more than anything. I think Ray was on the radio talking about it, how he just did, the puck's not coming to him a lot.
Well, get a hound dog.
Yeah.
Put a hound dog out there. That's Hyman's role. That's what he's good at, is... hunting pucks down, winning loose puck battles.
And last time I checked, they were a pretty damn good line last year.
Well, and Austin had success with them, and so did William. Like, everyone's looking at Austin. This could be something that gets William going, because William needs the puck at certain areas as well. Like, you know, Austin's a shooter. He can control the play, but you need the puck to get back. Last year, when Hyman was at his best, he'd get the puck, and his whole job was to either get it to one of his line mates. He's not taking it to the net. He's getting it to his line mates, and then he's going to the net to create space. The minute you create space, now Willie and Austin start to move the puck around through seams. I think it's a smart move, and you don't just give it... Like, I think this is a scenario where you give it like a five-game scenario. Like, let it play out. Let this one play out a little bit and let it breathe.
Yeah,
and William
you.
Nylander, he really needs something positive
to happen.
He does.
And you know, I didn't
think about what's gone on since he's returned to the lineup, his own individual slump. He goes offside on that one goal that doesn't count, yeah. Matthews' goal. He hits the goalie in the head and knocks him out. His centerman starts struggling. He just needs something positive to happen.
Well, and to add to that, they played horribly the other night. Jake Gardner gets booed. Everyone's freaking out. The one guy who actually played okay was Nylander.
Yeah, he actually
and no
did.
One cares.
Yeah.
Like, he actually finally looked okay.
He had some jump. He had a couple chances early on.
No one pays attention because of the rest of the team, you know, mailing in an effort and getting smoked by a team that they probably should beat at home. But, yes, Nylander needs to get some mojo going. Matthews does as well. I think as long as Marner and Tavares are still connected,
yeah, you're fine with it.
You're fine with that. They're just playing too well, and they're too smart and too talented not to produce.
See what Janssen does on that line, too, right?
Like, but I also think that's what really stood out about these movements to me as a player that isn't even involved in the movement. Patrick Marleau is not getting another sniff further up the lineup. That's it. It's over. He's 30. Yeah. Listen, that's where he shouldn't be further up the lineup. You know, this is a guy who he's going to the Hall of Fame, in my opinion. He's had a remarkable career. I think up to this date, he's been worth every penny for them. And on the ice, off the ice, we all know about the intangibles. There's a lot of value to it. But
as far as being a go-to guy?
He's a third-line guy. That's it. That's the ceiling. Like, Janssen and Hyman are playing ahead of him, I think, throughout the rest of the season. And if he's still here next year, which if he wants to be, he will be.
Right.
And if he wants to be, he should be. He signed the deal. He got the no move, all that kind of stuff. That's the way it works.
Yeah.
If they, you know, next year, I'm not sure what to expect out of Patrick Marleau in 2019-2020. Does he score 15 goals and give you 35 points for $6.25 million?
I
don't know.
I personally, and the reason being is I think Patrick Marleau's the type of guy who's just very consistent. And even if he goes through stretches, like, he plays the same way night in and night out. And you're right, like, Father Time comes and gets everyone at some point. For Berlewango, it's you know, knocking at his door right now. And it's the body that's giving out, not the talent. With Patrick, he still has the skates, but it's opportunistic. How many times in the last 10 games, like, he's had a couple chances where you're like, you got to bury that. You got to find a way. Austin's been the same way. You know, we can go down the list. But Patrick's usually a guy that's so consistent. It's like, okay, two or three games you don't notice him, you notice him. Like, you just haven't noticed him as much. And you're right, it's going
I think that's
south.
Age. You know, age catches up to everybody. Mm-hmm. They play a lot of games, and he never misses any games.
Yeah, he's so durable.
Yeah, he's incredibly durable, which is very valuable. You know, and it's not as if he's not, you know, still an NHL player or anything like that.
No.
He's capable of contributing. He can give more. He's got to give more.
Yeah.
But I don't think... And he probably never really has been an answer to problems. But last year, there were times where, like, injuries up the middle, and he moved to the middle, and he was a real impact guy
for
them.
Versatile. Yeah,
he's versatile. In the playoffs, he played really well.
Yeah.
You know, that line of him, Marner, and Kadri, that was their best line through seven games, and he contributed with offense. And maybe he snaps out of it towards the end of the season and into the playoffs. But at no point is Babcock, I think, in this foreseeable future, thinking that's... You know, the wily vet that's going to drag us out of this, that's just not what it... He's not capable of doing that right now.
Well, maybe it gets Nazem going. You know, you get...
But like, they've Nas been playing been, together for a while.
Yeah. Nas you know, is just... To me, he's been...
I think Kapanen's got to get him out of it.
Yeah.
Kapanen's the guy who's playing with Kadri now, based on the lines this morning.
Yeah.
But you need him to get rocking. Of course you do. There's a lot of guys who are slumping right now.
Yeah.
Offensively.
And you wouldn't notice it as much if the team was winning and having success, because... It's one or two guys, and other guys prop you up, right? You've got depth there, so if Mitch and John struggle at some point, well, it'll be Austin and Willie, or, you know, Nazem and, you know, Kapanen and wherever. But right now, it's a tough luck situation for four out of six.
It feels like
five out of
the
seven.
Whole group.
Yeah,
you know,
I know.
Like, who's
I mean,
on a heater right now? Marner's still chipping in with offense.
Yeah, he's chipping in, but the
and Tavares.
It's funny though. Marner's game was so strong before, he's still chipping in, but it's not as dominant. Is that fair
to
say?
So. Yeah, I think so.
And John will chip in, but it's... Austin's got to be consistently a lot better. Nazem's got to be a lot better. Like, the guy that...
Jake Gardner's got to be better.
Yeah. I think the guy that Jake Gardner did save the other night was Nazem Kadri. I don't think he's played very well. And I don't know if it's slotting. I think it's... I like it when he plays with a lot of jam and gets underneath your skin and really has a lot of skin in the game.
Yeah, I think he has at times probably been overthinking it or a little bit confused based on what role he should be playing.
Well, the difference is when you go from the second line guy to, which is basically a go-to guy, down to the third line, it somehow just takes some jam out of you because you're like, you're not.
A message has been sent.
Your skin in the game is lessened.
Yeah.
Right?
And
it shouldn't be that way. You're still going to be a hard-working third-line centerman, but
I guess
your skin in the game is, it takes a little bit of bite out of you.
That's what I'm saying, though. Do you think he's looking at this situation and saying, wow, we're loaded with skill, we're going to score all these goals, I have to be the I have to be an offensive guy, too? Or should he be thinking, you know, I got to be grit, grind, third line guy? That's where I think he's kind of caught between a rock
identity
and a hard place. Because I think he can play both roles.
You're right. And that's,
you know, he's not your conventional.
Well, he's got to be thinking, I was been in an awesome situation the last 2 years. I've scored 30 goals back to back years.
That's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen like, this year.
We got a new centerman in town.
But he still, I think his mindset is, if I get an opportunity against lesser matchups, I've got to make the best of it.
Yes.
That's what depth. I mean, we talk about it all the time in the NHL. There's certain teams that are top-heavy. When you have depth, you have to expose it and use it to your advantage. And Naz has the ability to do that. And maybe Patrick Marleau there helping with that process. Kapanen is a guy. Like, that's what depth does in the NHL. It exposes teams. So use it to your advantage. And they'll get going. Like, I'm confident they will. It's just a matter of time.
It's a rut. We're in the bubble right now. You know, every team goes through it.
Absolutely.
Outside of the truly exceptional teams in all sports, like truly exceptional, yeah. the Golden State Warriors, yeah. You know, the Patriots at times, where it just, everything's too easy because they're just so much better than everyone else.
Yeah,
that's the exception to the rule. Every other quality team, and the Leafs would be one of them. The Raptors are one of them. You go through some ruts. You have some hard times. And generally speaking, if you have the right mentality and you're committed to it all, it makes you a better team in the end.
Yeah.
And tomorrow night, they're going into Tampa. And tonight, the Raptors are in Boston. You know, and you look at the Celts and the Raps, whoever's at home generally wins. You know, I read a stat this morning. I was not overly surprised based on this series, but mm-hmm. it kind of sticks out to you. The last time a road team in this matchup actually won a game was December 9th, 2016. It was when the Raps won at Boston. Once in the last 10 times these two teams have met, the road team actually won. So, sets up pretty good for Boston to win tonight because the Raptors are in Boston.
Right.
But it also speaks to the importance of home court in the NBA.
Yeah.
And Boston's pretty far in the rear view for the Raps, but they can't let them off the map. I mean, they gotta go in there. You've had a couple of days off, and this is your competition. The way it sets up, you might see Boston in the second round. It won't be an Eastern Championship matchup. It'll be potentially a second-round matchup.
Yeah.
So, Raps, big one tonight in Boston. We'll tee that up throughout the afternoon. Jack will join us from Boston. The trade bait board is out there up on TSN.ca.
Man, so, who's number one?
We'll tell you next.
I saw a tweet today that I thought was a little fishy.
Yes?
Man on a horse. The horse gets bitten by a snake. So what did he do? He picked the horse up and carried him 3 miles. 3 miles back to safety. And I thought, come on. Who the hell can carry a horse?
Nobody.
Nobody. Sure enough, now it's out.
Unless it's a mini horse.
Dude, you're not even picking up a mini horse.
Well, one of those mini horses are probably 150 pounds. When they are they hundreds of pounds? I don't know. I don't like animals, so I'm never around them. Like, what do you think, Hayes? What do you think of how heavy a mini horse is?
Well, what are we talking about?
Like one of those
horse.
Little...
Like
those,
a pony?
Like, you know, the petting zoos, they've got those...
Yeah,
I don't even
ponies.
I don't know what
well,
the...
Well, those things, I don't know, 70 pounds?
Yeah,
you could carry one of those. But like a live horse, like a three-year-old horse...
They're hundreds of pounds. Like, could
thousands.
Be thousands, maybe.
It might be a ton. Yeah, no, the story was bogus. For starters, there's a guy with a camera in the field shooting it. Like, wouldn't you think if that was a real story and the horse was actually in trouble, you'd put your camera down, you'd put your iPhone down and go and help?
Or call somebody?
Yeah, I would think so. But I don't even know how this was taken seriously because I looked up on Twitter and just did a Google search while we were in the break. And there were a lot of different publications that picked it up. like the New York Post and the Daily Mirror and all that. But I guess it's it was a Ukrainian strongman.
Yes.
That it actually is like a real footage of him picking up the horse, but he didn't walk it 3 miles and the horse wasn't bitten by a snake.
It was just picking up a horse.
Yeah, he proved how strong he is. I'm telling you, I could pick this horse up. But you're putting your life at stake if you do that, because if the horse freaks out...
Now, the horse, is he tranquilized?
I would hope so, for the horse's sake, or even for the guy's sake. You take a horse foot in the face or in the chest, in the sternum, you're done.
Dead. Yes.
Dead. You're in big trouble.
He is. So he is caring. So there is a camera.
It's actually real, but the backstory is fake. It wasn't because the man loved this horse and the horse was bitten by a venomous snake. It was some guy trying to be a hero and
carrying a horse around.
Carrying a horse around. Yeah.
I want to see how much a pony weighs. I think we could carry a pony around the studio.
Let's bring in a pony.
No, they bite, don't they? They bite. I could see like a pony biting a kid.
Maybe.
We'll have a pony carrying contest in the parking lot.
We'll do it with
Gino Retta.
Yeah, I was just going to say Gino and Dutchie. Who else?
On Trade Center.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, TSN, we're starting to really pick things up here because the trade deadline is about 6 weeks away. And the first official trade bait board is up. And Matt Duchene is in the one hole. And that's not surprising until he actually signs a deal. And I guess he was asked about it today at Skate, and he said it's still too early to figure it out. We'll let the process play out. I don't know what to read into that. But what I found interesting about this list is that Duchene is number one. In Ottawa, they're terrible. They're transitioning. They're rebuilding. Everyone knows the position they're in.
Yep.
So if you can't get them signed, I think you have to trade them. But I would apply the same logic to Mark Stone, and Mark Stone is 45 on the list.
He would be very high up for me.
Like, I would very think so high too. Up. If I'm another team in the league, I'm taking Stone over Duchene.
I'm taking Stone over Wayne Simmons, who's number two.
Absolutely.
Every day of the week.
I guess what it speaks to is Ottawa likely wants to keep Mark Stone.
Right, he's going to be their captain
more than Duchene, and maybe they feel like Stone is more receptive to the idea of sticking around, and maybe Duchene isn't.
I don't know. If I had to guess, I thought they were pretty close on a contract before he went to arbitration. So they probably have the framework of some numbers involved.
Let's get through the year.
We'll give you a bump or something. But to me, Mark Stone seems like he's going to be the captain of the Ottawa Senators
I started working here, Jamie, when the player always says it's a process and this is the original, they're not signing there.
Yeah, Duchene?
Yeah.
So you're thinking
he's the agent's meeting the GM and it's a process and first time for me, blah blah. That just means they're not. That's what John Tavares said for a year.
But isn't it a little?
It's a process. I hope it gets done. Blah blah blah. Toronto.
Argument's sake, what is the number, Duchene? What's his marketplace financially? If we just had to ballpark right now.
Who the hell knows?
Something with an eight in it?
Something, at least.
No.
Everybody loves themselves, Brian.
He's a better player than William Nylander, I'll tell you that.
But he's older than William Nylander.
Yeah.
And...
He's unrestricted free agent?
Maybe I got to wrap my head around where we are financially in the NHL, but in a UFA, that costs money. I get it. He's a good player. He's a very good player.
I mean, he's 27, and he can be a one on a team that doesn't have a one.
On a bad team, then. He's not a number one on a cup-contending team.
No, because most of the cup-contending teams have ones in place, but I'm saying, like, if you're in a retool or... he would be perfect for Ottawa if they're retooling. Like,
yeah.
But I'm saying, I think it's easily something with an eight in it.
Okay. Yeah, I can't fight against that. Like if on the open market, if a bunch of teams are kicking tires. What did Paul Stastny get, though, from Vegas?
Six. Wasn't it six?
So, is Duchene that much better than Paul Stastny?
I think so. Paul Stastny was coming off some subpar seasons in St. Louis. Now, he had a nice little run with Winnipeg. But,
yeah, he did.
Stastny, I think, is a little bit older, too.
Yeah, he is older. I think he's into his 30s now.
Let me just double check.
I don't know. Listen, Duchene's going to have a market. He's going to get paid. There's no doubting that. As for leaf content on this list, they've got Kapanen at 22 and Johnson at 23. And I found it curious that this has come out. Our insiders have reported over the last 24 hours that the Maple Leafs' first-round pick is officially in play.
And I saw that.
This is a team that they don't give much. They don't leak much. The fact that that's out.
Well, somebody else has leaked it.
Well, somebody else might have leaked it that, yes, the Leafs called them up and said, we're interested in somebody and this could be on the table. You can't control what other messengers are going to be out there.
Is this really news, though, Brian? Every team that is the top six teams in the league, we call it Winnipeg, Vegas, Toronto, Washington, Tampa, they all have their first-round picks in play if they want to make a deal and get a good player.
Probably. You're right. But I think, with the Leafs and with the timing is what I find a little bit curious. I mean, this might be the first time where the Leafs have snapped out of it, and Dubas in particular. And so we got to get it out here that we're in play. You know, this is out there. Maybe you don't need the insiders and the media to do your bidding for you, but maybe they're looking to pounce a little bit earlier. You know, maybe it is, we're not waiting until the 25th. Maybe we want to get a deal done quickly. Because you're right, O. You would assume if the player on the receiving end of the deal is worth it, all the top end teams would hand over the first round pick. Yes. You make that assumption.
Right.
But this one's the first one that's out.
Right.
You know,
right.
I haven't heard that I don't even know if Tampa has a first rounder this year. They might not with the deals they've made. But I haven't heard Tampa say all their picks are available. Right. Or Vegas or Calgary or whatever. The Leafs, it's out there. Edmonton was out there.
Right.
And Edmonton's first round pick happens to be on this trade bait board. But the fact that the Leaf first round pick is officially in play based on what our insiders are hearing, that's different than what generally comes out of this organization.
Well, you're right.
So
maybe
why
that's
is
the difference between Kyle and Lou. Could be something like that.
Could be.
Also, it could be a scenario where Kyle's been working the back channels for weeks now, and it gets leaked on the other end. He was in on player X, player Y, and you know somebody says, yeah, you know what? I've been talking to the Leafs. Yeah, they're first rounder and player X. Like, so it could come from the other source because there are two or three teams probably in play. If the Leafs are talking to that, I think it's great. I also believe that the trade deadline, because of the parity in a couple different spots and near the top, now outside of Tampa, there's some teams like the Leafs included. Why wouldn't you want to improve your team now instead of waiting until into February? And then the second part would be those teams that we've been talking about around the cusp. In the West, it's those five teams that we've been pointing, Edmonton,
fighting to get in.
And then even in the East.
Yes, I think what I will say about the idea of handing over a first-round pick, even if you're one of these top-end teams, which the Leafs are,
right.
I don't like the idea of doing it for a rental player. Like, I think it's got to be someone with more term than just 3 months left on their deal.
I always think that when I see these trades happen in the you know, it's the guy at the deadline that the team gets a prospect, a current player on the roster, right. And a first round pick. You get punted in the first round. You're like, that was a waste.
Yeah, I don't like. You know, they're in a window, but it's not the window isn't an inch away from being closed.
Right.
You know, it's not like Pittsburgh, where Pittsburgh's like, take everything. We got to get to it right now.
And Jimmy Rutherford has said, like, he goes, I got nothing left.
And this is what we have to do. Malkin's 33, Sid's 32, Letang's in his 30s. This is it. We're in.
Yeah.
The Leafs are not. They're at the complete other end of their timeline. So, you know, I can't picture the Leafs trading a first-round pick for a guy who's going to walk at the end of the year. But I think what becomes clear is the position they would be seeking out. You know, McKenzie has said this, and we'll talk to Bob later, that if it's a bigger deal, someone of substance, in other words, someone with term on their deal, it's going to cost a first and likely one of Kapanen and or Janssen, and that's why they would be on this board. But, you know, speak of the devil, we're talking about Gardner here. Gardner likely walks at the end of the year. Regardless of how you feel about him, he's their second or third best defenseman, and he plays a ton of minutes. Ron Hainsey, I think, is done at the end of the year. He's going to retire. I'd be shocked if he came back. If he played, period, let alone here in Toronto. I think he's done. He's your second or third defenseman based on minutes. At the end of the year, we keep talking about the Marner money and the Matthews money. 50% of their top four is gone.
Right.
Like, that's a huge hole they got to fill. Mm-hmm. And Dubas, I think it would be wise to say, you know what? Maybe we got to do this at the deadline as opposed to in the summer. You know, let's bring in if we can, a Pietrangelo or a Muzzin or a Parayko.
Somebody who's got a little term on there.
Someone who is definitely a top four.
Right.
Because if you're gambling in July, I don't even know if there are any top four defensemen available in July. But then it just comes down to money, and other teams can always overpay you if you're in a cap crunch. If it's simply making a trade, yeah, you got to pay. And it wouldn't be, it's not ideal that you're giving up draft picks and guys you've developed and good players. But it probably puts you in a more advantageous position to get the job done via trade than via signing in the summer.
And that's why I come back to being proactive now, not doing it a week before the deadline when the prices could be skyrocketing. And you know, Kyle, I'm sure, like all of these managers, they talk all the time. They're in on stuff. Like Greg Button was at yesterday, told us, you know, he used to work on trades for months.
Yeah.
And it takes time to come together.
In the summer or whatever.
Circle back, yeah.
Jerry's percentages at 5:30. Again, Raps in Boston tonight. We'll tee that up. It's a big, big game tonight. Some history happening at the Garden tonight as well with Jason Tatum and the shoes he's going to wear. We'll tell you about that. A lot of people focused on the weather in Kansas City on Sunday and how it sets up beautifully for Tom Brady and his history playing in the cold. And we'll tell you about those stats. Overdrive, we got a pair of tickets to give away. Leafs caps January 23rd, every day this week. We will provide the clue to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. And on Friday, you have the chance to call in and name that Leaf. Today's clue, this Maple Leaf was a first-round pick drafted 14th overall. This Maple Leaf was a first-round pick drafted 14th overall.
Interesting Nick Antropoff.
No, I don't think it's him. Say I do with Vegas. We're off in less than a month.
Yeah.
We're in Vegas
in
a month.
Quick.
So we're going to get you more of an update on that. Ray Ferraro coming up just after 5. Jerry's percentages at 5:30. All right, so we're off to Vegas in about a month. And we've been asking people to send us emails to vegas1050@bellmedia.ca and telling people to submit why they should be getting married in Vegas or renewing their vows in Vegas with the Overdrive crew. And whoever is lucky enough, unlucky enough, depending on which way you want to describe it, to tag along with us to Vegas. We'll have their flights and accommodations provided by our friends at tripcentral.ca. All of the details for every single contest we do here on the station are available up on the website, tsn1050.ca. And we've been talking to a lot of cool people over the last couple of months.
Been great.
We've been, you know, we announced this back in November.
Yeah.
So a lot of people, like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, sent in emails and a variety of backstories, and some that are planning on getting married, some that are planning on renewing their vows. And we're going to chat with one more contestant here.
Yes.
One more potential suitor for the trip to Vegas. Here is Chris Down. What's happening, Chris?
Hey, not much. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, no, thank you for doing this. So tell us, what's the backstory? You and your wife, Chelsea, you guys want to ride shotgun with us to Vegas and renew your vows or what?
Of course, yeah. I'd love to. Yeah, we got married back in the summer, actually. And I pulled the move of asking if we could do our honeymoon on a friend's destination wedding. So I think she deserves a little bit more, and I think she'd have a blast at her first Leaf game.
So let me get this straight. Deserving a little bit more is going to Vegas with us?
That's right.
There you go.
You are all class, my man.
The destination honeymoon on a wedding, and now Vegas with us.
Just
exactly, yeah. No, we both love the show. We're both big Leafs fans, and she's never been to a game yet. So,
well, that is very enticing. I mean, we've been saying this to everybody, and we genuinely mean it. We wish nothing but luck and success for everybody. We wish we could bring everybody. You know, we've had well over 300-400 people submit, you know, which means 300-400 couples we're talking about here. And we'd love to be able to bring as many people as we can. But we're going to make the official call, I believe, tomorrow afternoon. So stay close to the phone, and I'm sure Steph will reach out to you at some point. And we appreciate you sending the email, and we wish you and Chelsea the best of luck. And thanks for being a listener, and thanks for doing this today, Chris.
Yeah, thanks a lot. And I just want to say, people are saying I'd be the best choice. So.
Yeah, well, that's true. People have been saying that,
Chris.
There's
been a lot of
class, buddy.
Yeah.
We get that.
We have heard that, Chris.
There's a lot
of good luck, buddy.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks, man. There's Chris and his lovely wife, Chelsea. Big fans of Overdrive.
I love it.
We'll see. We're going to make a call tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah. It'll be exciting.
We are just getting carved online.
Why?
Because a miniature pony,
it's
apparently
like 400 pounds.
Like a 400 pounds.
Yes.
I said 70 pounds.
Yeah. What is it? Like a?
That's a dog, maybe.
Maybe
even
that's
dogs
what I was
are
thinking.
Like people have dogs that are
a
like 120
pony,
pounds.
You're like, yeah, it's like 70 pounds. Like, are you?
That's a goat.
A goat is more than 70 pounds.
No, maybe
probably.
A baby goats. Goat.
What are we talking about? Miniature pony. What
like
is that?
One of the Shetland ponies? Is that what they're called?
Yeah,
they're little fat like as hell. They look like me with a mane. That's what they are.
A grit grinder.
Yeah,
yeah. The people are sending notes saying they're 200
kilograms,
or like 400 pounds.
Yeah, Tom tweeting and saying, I almost spit out my drink listening to you idiots debate the weight of a horse. Yeah. Hashtag all over the map.
A lot heavier than, there's not a chance I could even.
Well, and I guess Joseph tweeting and saying, miniature horses can be hundreds of pounds. Ponies are much more than that. So we don't have a shot.
You get a fat ass pony, man. You got your hands full.
Well, I guess we're not doing that.
They're dangerous too. I think they're dangerous.
You're convinced they're so dangerous.
They'll kick and bite. I think they bite and kick. Like I believe though. I don't want to speak out of turn. But
great outdoorsman here says a pony will bite your face.
I'm telling
off.
You, I feel like a pony would bite.
Steve Irwin.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that guy.
That's the greatest.
That was
away.
The dumbest thing you've ever said on the show. Yeah, a miniature donkey's like 70 pounds.
I could have sworn I could have carried around
like
a
miniature. I saw a dog dressed up as a pony for Halloween, I think. And that's where you got your basis for that statement.
All right, race coming up. Big Raptor game tonight. Update on the weather in Kansas City for Sunday. And Jerry's percentages at 5:30.